Blog Talk Radio.
Glorious. I can't think of enough words to describe
describe the Elohim that we serve. And so as he continues to work on our behalf with my grandson and just different things, you know, I just have to take the time to thank him. I want to remind everybody of the Day of Atonement. We will be observing it starting Sunday evening, and Monday would be a no-work day. Okay? So I pray that you have taken that off and are able to do as the scriptures say. Observe that day and don't do anything in it. I will remind again after the lesson. And so this lesson, and probably the one in the morning, will be on atonement, the atonement. We are always, I like to look at things from the scriptures, you know, from the Old Testament, and then bring it into the New. Because we cannot understand the New without the Old and what Messiah is doing. So we're going to be looking at atonement, and then we'll look at the Day of Atonement, what happened in the sanctuary, and then what is Messiah doing? Because he ascended back into heaven, and he's ascended into, he carried his blood into the temple. And from there, you know, he made atonement once and for all. But when we hear that phrase, once and for all, people want to think that that is one time and forever for every sin that anybody ever makes. And that is not the way that it works. And so just as willful sin could not be forgiven on the Day of Atonement in Torah, willful sin cannot be forgiven under Messiah. And he's doing. So a lot of people have to place themselves, you know, truly 1,000% at the mercy of the Most High, I being included. That, you know, because of the way that we've been taught and not understanding the operation of the temple, and then not understanding the operation of the temple, then we can't really understand salvation and how the Most High operates under salvation. And so we're going to be looking at these things. And like I said, it's not to take away hope from people, but you have to know where you stand. At least you can make, you know, if you find yourself out of whack with the Most High, you can make a honest plea. I didn't know. I didn't understand. He knows whether you understood or not. And he's the one that has to dispense or not impute your sins against you. But if you never recognize where you are at, then you can't even make that plea. Okay? And so we want to look at this in operation and what took place. And then we want to bring it into New Testament under the blood of Messiah. And when he ascended back into heaven, what is he actually doing up there? You know, making intercession. For what? You know, people need to ask those questions. What is he interceding for? Well, if we fall short. Well, if we fall short, it says we have an advocate. But the problem is how we fall short. Okay? And so we really need to understand this because I really don't, you know, the more that the Most High shows me in this, the more I understand that people take the Most High for as a fool. And he says, I'm not a fool. And I'm not flat. And so, you know, we have to understand what these days are about and why we are celebrating them, why we are keeping them, and how they operate so that we don't find ourselves outside of them. And the only thing you can do is if, you know, like I said, if you find yourself guilty, then, you know, confess it to the Most High. If you confess your sin and be truthful about it, either you didn't know or you didn't know the severity of it. And from this day forward, you won't do it anymore. And then now it's in his court as to how he will judge. And you will only know when you meet your maker. So from that point on, you want to live a righteous life. This is, you know, it's imperative. Because people, you know, they just, to me, they're just using the Most High as a sin ATM. Oops, I sinned. Forgive me. Oops, I did it again. This is a very serious issue, and it's not something that people should take for granted, and nor take your salvation for granted. So these next couple of lessons, just tonight and tomorrow morning, we will, you know, go into this so that we can understand the operation of the temple and what the priest was doing when they made a sacrifice, how this worked. And then the cleansing of the temple. And this is what we're really waiting for Messiah to do. We're really waiting for him to cleanse the temple in heaven. Because remember, the temple on the earth is a replica of the temple and the sanctuary in heaven. The operation of it. The operation of the temple on the earth mimics the operation of the temple in the sanctuary in heaven. And so if Messiah is in the heavens, in the temple, in the sanctuary, then atoning for us, there's going to come a day when he has to cleanse the sanctuary. And when he has to cleanse the sanctuary, then salvation shall be over. Anybody who is not under the blood of Messiah and in an acceptable way, at that point, it's too late. So we got to understand that the sanctuary on the earth was a duplicate of the sanctuary in heaven, and it operated the same way as the sanctuary in heaven. So we're going to go ahead and do this. Let me welcome everybody to Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry. I'm Brother Miles. And I pray that you are ready to eat from the word of the Most High. You know, I want to welcome all those in Pal Talk and Blog Talk, on the internet in general, wherever you may be. I greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. As we get into this, you know, I want you to take note. I want you, if you have questions, to ask those questions. Because this is critical. Being baptized in Messiah's name is critical. Receiving the Ruach HaKodesh is critical. Understanding atonement is critical. And so we don't want to remain in ignorance concerning these things because, you know, truthfully, the Most High says if you're doing something ignorantly, then he will forgive it. But you can't stay ignorant just because you want to be ignorant because you don't want to be accountable. Oh, no, I don't want to hear that. I'm good where I'm at. Okay. And so we want to welcome everybody, whether you're in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, whether you're in North America or South America, the African continent, the European theater, the Middle East, the Far East, communist bloc countries. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. Let us do our statement of faith. I believe that all scriptures, so let me have the ladies to cover their heads, men uncover your heads, turn toward the east, the direction that the sun rises. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We just give you glory, honor, and praise. And we worship you, O Yah Elohim, for you are our Elohim. And no other will we bow down and give the knee to, Father. Only you, for you are the only one worthy of praise, the only one worthy of worship, Father. And so we will not bow down to anyone else, but to you, Father, and to you alone. Father, we thank you for all that you have done and all that you're going to do. We thank you for salvation and redemption. We thank you for atonement, Father, for allowing us to be at one with you, Father, in mind and in heart and in spirit. And so we just glorify you on today. As we go into this day of atonement that you have set aside for the entire nation, Father, we just want to recognize and honor you in it and be obedient. So all glory and honor to you, O Yah Elohim, all glory and honor to you. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. The sounding of the shofar.
It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat. It's your formation. We gotta get ready for the battle. So call on your brothers and sisters. We gotta turn back to the scriptures. Stop making it all about you. Them preachers, they got it confused. Come out of her. Cause Yahuwah is our deliverer. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed, cause nobody's perfect. We're called by his name. We're called by his name. See him to be worthy. We should be coming together. There's power and unity. It's time to come into the order, cause we are a living prophecy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat. Lace up them boots. We gotta move, step mode, put on camouflage. We gotta be wise, open your eyes to the Most High in the sky. We must stop arguing, it's irrelevant. We must live in the Torah, it's heaven sent. He will put it in your heart, fulfilling the word of the new covenant. Don't be ashamed, cause nobody's perfect. We're called by his name, we're called by his name. Seek him to be worthy. We should be coming together. There's power and unity. It's time to come into the order, cause we are a living prophecy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's a spiritual combat, it's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat, it's a spiritual combat. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness. It's a spiritual combat, it's a spiritual combat, it's a spiritual combat.
All right, amen, 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 amen.
I do it for you. I give you the praise and the glory. You came and you walk in the flesh, an example of love. It is the story. Your words jump at me like a picture. The perfect you are in the scriptures. Your words, they don't change and they don't go void. You are the truth you deliver. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that. Check all my members, cause I gotta be in that number. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that. Yeah.
say it together.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Say, there is power in the name of Jesus.
Come on.
To break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain,
yeah.
To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Let's say it together, there is power.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
You got it.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus,
yeah.
To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Declare and say,
to break every chain, break every chain, break every.
Now somebody lift your hands in the air right here.
There's an arm.
Won't keep silent, say,
there's an army, there's an army, there's an army rising up.
Now shout it out, say, to break every chain,
to break every chain,
hey,
break every chain, break every
All right, we're going to start this off in the book of Leviticus chapter 17. And before we read scripture, I want to define how the scriptures define atonement. In the Bible, the term atonement primarily refers to the act of making amends or reparations for wrongdoing or sin. And it encompasses the ideal of reconciliation between Elohim and humanity. The English word atonement essentially means at-one-ment, meaning that we're on the same thought. We agree. We are at peace with one another. And suggesting a restoration of unity or harmony. So when we are seeking atonement, we are asking the Most High to take us back and put us on a level with him that we can approach him because we are in agreement with him. We're at one-ment with him. And so this is this word atonement. Where we are restoring a breach. Then the Most High has given us ways to come back into the correct relationship with him, to come back at one with him, one in spirit, one in mind, one in thought, at one-ment, okay? And so this is what that term means in the English. At one minute. We agree. We are together in thought. We are together in unity. If we have done wrong, then we want to come back into the right situation with the Most High. We want to make amends. If he says, you know, to make a sacrifice, we want to do that. We want to do whatever it takes to be at one with him. This is what atonement means. Now, in Leviticus chapter 17, the Most High told us what it takes to make an atonement with him. Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement, an at-one-ment, for your soul. For it is the blood that makes it an atonement for the soul. So anytime we are out of whack with the Most High, when we sin against him, when we transgress, the Most High required blood. And if our blood, it would not be sufficient because our blood was tainted with sin. And so the Most High wanted something that had not sinned against him. And he allowed us to substitute the blood of bulls and goats to bring us back at one-ment with him, to have atonement with him, okay? But the bulls, the blood and the bulls never sinned. And the bulls and the goats were not guilty of anything, and it was man that sinned against the Most High. So he allowed man to substitute the blood of bulls and goats to bring us back at one with him until Messiah would come. So at one with the Most High, atonement with him, always required blood. And so we would, you know, our forefathers would sin, and they would offer the blood of a bull or a goat, a lamb, or you know, one of the animals that were acceptable. Most High also wanted to find at-one-ment or atonement with humankind, with mankind, to reconcile with humanity. Because humanity is the one at whole. All have sinned, so all of humanity has sinned and fallen short. And whether they know it or not, but the Most High wanted to make a way that anybody who heard it would be able to accept this atonement, but they had to come with their whole heart. So the act of Messiah on the cross was an atonement for our sin. In order to take advantage of that, we had to recognize who he was and be baptized into his name. And then we would get credit for death. We would get credit for his blood. He would place us under his blood. And that would bring us into at-one-ment with the Most High. So the Most High wants to do this and reconcile all of mankind to him. When we go to Romans chapter 5, and we're going to get verse 11. Romans chapter 5 and verse 11. And we're going to come back and we're going to break down this atonement and how it works. Okay, it's not just the killing of the animal and the shedding of their blood. That was the only thing that was required. That is not it. Romans chapter 5, verse 11. And the word of the Most High reads, "And not only so, but we also joy in Elohim through our Master, Yeshua HaMashiach, by whom we have now received the atonement," the at-one-ment with the Most High, the reconciling with the Most High. Okay, and so none of the Gentile world, none of the Christian world really celebrates the Day of Atonement. They celebrate the crucifixion. But the Most High has declared the Day of Atonement that we recognize and we afflict ourselves so that we continue to recognize that we were sinners and that we needed to have atonement with him. And we should remember Messiah on this day, on the Day of Atonement. Okay, and we will have we'll have an evening service for atonement. We won't do anything all that day, but the evening after the day is over, then we will have a service. Okay, so I can keep the Day of Atonement by not working, even in the scriptures, and then we can celebrate it that evening, which will be Monday evening. So the apostles understood that Messiah's death was the ultimate atonement for sin. And it was the one that the Most High was looking for. He needed, animals did not sin against the Most High. It was a man that sinned against the Most High, and it's the blood of a man that would be required to make full atonement. So you can look at the animal's blood as like an interest payment. If you have a house and you can't make your house note, the full note, the principal and the interest, then you can pay the interest on the note, and they will still count you as being current, and they will take the balance, the principal that you owe, and tack it on to the end. So you still owe another payment, but they consider you current. This is what the Most High was doing with the animals. He was saying, okay, I'm still interested in you. I'm going to let you take the blood of bulls and goats and make an atonement, but the principal is still due. Okay? You're still a sinner. And until a man can come along and can pay this price where you couldn't pay it for yourself, then I'm going to consider you still in debt, still in sin. And so the animals, blood, the Most I never wanted for sin. But he had to give the people a way that they could make an atonement and still serve him until Messiah came. And now the blood of a man, one man, was all that was needed for atonement. That's why we have to recognize Messiah, and we have to come into that relationship with him, and we have to be baptized in his name to receive that atonement. But I really believe that when people don't understand the Day of Atonement, they cannot really understand salvation. And they cannot really understand. They understand the operations of the sanctuary, and they cannot understand what Messiah is doing in the heavenly. So we want to look at this on this evening, and then we will look at, we'll look at atonement from the standpoint of the sanctuary And then we will look at atonement from the standpoint of Messiah. And what he's doing. And remember, so when we look at this, I want you to put these pieces into place that Messiah died once and for all. His blood was shed once and for all. That doesn't mean for all your sins forever. Doesn't mean that. But that's the way people take it. He died once and for all people who come up under the covenant, who agree to accept him as a Savior. Doesn't matter when they were born, what century they were born in. Once he did this, everybody throughout time until he returns has this opportunity. But there are still some limitations on sin and what sins he will forgive and what sins he will not forgive. And so we have to understand this. So we're going to go into, let's go into Numbers chapter 30. I believe that's it. Numbers chapter 30. Let me check myself. I was going to go a different way, but he wants this, so hold on just a second. 30 or 15. We're going to do it from Numbers. I hate when I do this. Let's see. Having a brain dump. Oh. Yeah, let's do Numbers chapter 15. Numbers chapter 15. Now, this is starting off, it starts off kind of weird, but he's going to get into, we've read these before, willful and ignorant sin. But we're not going to concentrate on willful and ignorant at this point. We're going to concentrate on atonement, the reconciling with the Most High, okay? Verse 22, and if you have erred and not observed all these commandments which Yah has spoken unto Moses, even all that Yah has commanded you by the hand of Moses from the day that Yah commanded Moses, and henceforth among your generation, then it shall be, if aught be committed, underline that, by ignorance, without the knowledge of the congregation, that all the congregation shall offer one young bullock for a burnt offering, for a sweet savor unto Yah, with the meat offering and with the drink offering according to the manner, and one kid of the goats for a sin offering. And the priest shall make, underline it, make an atonement. So when he's offering these animals, it was to make an atonement for you. And in this case, it was the congregation. The congregation, the whole entire congregation was supposed to observe something or do something. And he says, and if the whole congregation didn't do it, then if it was done out of ignorance, then an atonement could be made. Okay? So we got to understand that this is how it worked. It was done out of ignorance. An atonement could be made for a sin offering made. Okay? And the priest shall make an atonement for all the congregation of the children of Israel. That atonement was to bring them back into oneness with Yah. Back on the same page with the Most High. Reconciliation. For all the congregation of the children of Israel, and it shall be forgiven them. Why will it be forgiven them? For it is ignorance. They did this thing, the entire congregation did this thing in ignorance. And they shall bring their offering and sacrifice made by fire unto Yah, and their sin offering before Yah. for their ignorance. A sin offering for their ignorance. And it shall be forgiven all the congregation of the children of Israel, and the stranger that sojourns among them, seeing all the people were in ignorance. And this is very important, okay? And if any soul sin through ignorance, now we're going to talk about the individual. We just talked about the whole congregation doing something in ignorance. Now he's going to talk about the individual. If any individual sin through ignorance, underline it, then he shall bring a she-goat of the first year for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him, for the soul that sinneth ignorantly. When he sinneth by ignorance before Yah, to make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven. The atonement can only be made if it was what? Done in ignorance. Okay? You shall have one law for him that is sent, that sinned through ignorance, both him that is born among the children of Israel and the stranger that sojourns among them. The stranger couldn't be doing something different than Israel. The stranger couldn't live amongst Israel and be doing their own thing. Now, I'm good. Y'all do y'all thing. Y'all do y'all. Okay? The stranger had to follow the same law as the Hebrew. So if the stranger was doing something, the stranger could actually bring a sacrifice for sin. If he did it in ignorance. This wasn't only just to Israel. An atonement could be made for the stranger. But the soul that does aught presumptuously, willfully, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproaches Yah, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people. The soul that sinned willfully can be made atonement for, can be brought in back into right standings with Yah, can be brought back at one-ment. So there was never a sacrifice made for the person, but there was never a sin sacrifice made for the person that sinned presumptuously, that sinned willfully. That means that there was no blood in the sanctuary for that sin for that person. Write that down. No blood in the sanctuary for that sin for that person. And Yah said it could not and would not be forgiven. Typically, if it was something unto death, they died. They were killed. Okay, and so there was no atonement made for them. And he said you would kill them without mercy because they knew what they were doing. So he says their iniquity, and let's read this again. That soul shall be cut off from among his people because he has despised the word of Yah and has broken his commandments. That soul shall utterly be cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him. In other words, that sin remained on them, that transgression. And the priest did not make an atonement for it. And the only way to make an atonement was for an animal's blood to be shed by the priest and poured under the altar. That's where that person's sins went, under the altar. But it wasn't quite forgiven yet. Wanted them to have a clean conscience, but it didn't really do that. Because they needed to wait for the Day of Atonement. Now, this Day of Atonement was the day that the priest went in and washed all of the sin out of the temple, out of the sanctuary. And he made an atonement. He did that by making a blood sacrifice on the altar of incense. Now, when we were reading, we heard about the altar of sacrifice. But then they also mentioned an altar of incense. And no sacrifice was to be made on the altar of incense. That altar of incense, which was for the prayers of the saints, a blood sacrifice is only made on that altar once a year, on the Day of Atonement. And that blood placed on that altar cleansed the temple, cleansed the sanctuary of the sin that was stored up in the sanctuary, in the blood of all those people who brought a sacrifice. I hope we're getting this. So you committed a transgression that was out of ignorance. You brought it to the priest. The priest made a sin sacrifice. You laid your hand on the head of that animal and transferred your sin to that animal. That animal was slaughtered, and its blood, with your sin in it, was poured at the base of the altar. And that's where it remained until the Day of Atonement. I hope we understand this process. So your sin is still in the sanctuary at that time until the Day of Atonement. Now the priest is going to come in and make a sin sacrifice for all of the sins of Israel that were forgivable on the Day of Atonement. And the Most High wanted everybody in Israel to afflict themselves and acknowledge that they had sinned and that it was being washed away on that day. And now you have a new lease on life. Okay? Now let's go to Leviticus chapter, 32. Leviticus chapter 16. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 16. And we're going to start in verse 1. And we're going to read all of 16 because I want us to understand this process. And as I said before starting or at the beginning, the sanctuary on the earth was built after the manner of the sanctuary in heaven. And the duties of the priest on the earth reflected the duties of the priest in the heavenly. And so the same action took place. Here, I want you to build the sanctuary. It's going to be a replica of the one in the heavens. And I'm going to meet you here, and I'm going to also allow you to make your atonement for your sins here. So when Messiah ascends up into the heavens, he enters the Holy of Holies in the heavens and puts his blood at the base of the altar in the sanctuary in the Holy of Holies in heaven. And from that point forward, he has been acting as the high priest in heaven, making atonement, interceding. But what is he interceding for? Now, we're going to get into that tomorrow. But we want to see how this works on the earth, because if we can understand how it works on the earth, then we can understand how it works in the heavenly. Because the one on the earth is a replica of the one in the heavens. And the process is the same. The Most High took the procedures and the requirements of the heavenly and put them on the earth. I pray we can get this. So if you understand how the earthly sanctuary worked, then you can understand how the heavenly sanctuary worked. Leviticus chapter 16. We're going to start in verse 1. And Yah spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons, Aaron, when they offered before Yah and died. Now, we know these two sons were Nadab and Abihu, okay? And Nadab, the Hebrew name Nadab means liberal. The Hebrew name Abihu means worship or worshiper of the Father. Liberal worshiper of the Father. The Most High told Israel, don't add to or take away anything from what he told them. Just do exactly what I tell you to do. Don't add to it or take away from it. Nadab and Abihu burnt incense at the wrong time. They added to. Oh, this is a good time to burn incense. Time that they weren't supposed to burn incense. They burned it out of that time. The Most High burned them up. And the moral of the story is the Most High burnt up liberal worship. He don't want you doing just what you want to do, when you want to do it, how you want to do it. Just do what I tell you to do. Don't add to or take away from it. Just do what I tell you to do, and only that, when I tell you to do it. So these are the two sons that got that died before Yah. They liberally worshiped him, and he burnt it up. You don't do that with me. And Yah said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat. Speak unto Aaron, tell him, don't come in here at any time. You don't go into the Holy of Holies whenever you want to. That's what he's saying. Speak unto him and tell him, don't come at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. If he went into the Holy of Holies and it was not the Day of Atonement, he would die. You're only supposed to be in here one time and before my presence, and not whenever you want to, not whenever you think you got a petition, one time, okay? For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat. Had to be dressed for this. In the apparel that the Most High told Moses to have prepared for his office. Don't come in here in just your street clothes. Don't come in here and you ain't washed. Don't just approach me any kind of way. Understand what he's saying? And he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and he shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with a linen mitre, that's a hat. Shall he be attired? These are holy garments. Therefore, shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. Don't come in here anytime you want to, and when it's time to come in here, you come in here in the clothing that I've told you to come in, and you better wash before you do so. And he shall take off the congregation, and he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel two kid goats for a sin offering, one ram for a burnt offering, and one ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself. If he has sinned, you make your atonement for your sin before you approach, and for his house. Any sin in the house, make an atonement for it. Your sons, you, yourself, make an atonement before you approach me. And he shall take the two goats and present them before Yah at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Two goats. Now, he's already offered one for him and his family. And here are two goats that he's going to bring to the door and present to Yah. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats. What are the lots? Which one is going to be sacrificed for sin, and which one is going to be let go? And he shall cast upon the two goats. He shall cast lots upon the two goats. One lot for Yah, and the other lot for the scapegoat. The scapegoat is the goat that is set free. Okay? And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which Yah's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. So here's two goats. One for Yah, one as a scapegoat. And the one that the one that was for Yah got sacrificed for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before Yah to make an atonement with him, and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. So what would happen is the high priest has to do this ceremony, and he puts his hand on the head of the scapegoat to transfer all the sins that are at the altar to the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. He shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before Yah, and his hands full of sweet incense, mal, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before Yah, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that's upon the testimony. Now this altar that he puts it on is the altar of incense. It's not the altar where you would put the blood of the animal. That the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he, Aaron, die not. You don't put this incense on here, and you come in here, then you're going to die. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward. And before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle the blood with his finger seven times. So he's giving you the procedure in what happens in the Holy of Holies. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering. Remember, now the first bullock that he killed was for his own sin and his family's sin. Now the second goat that he's going to kill is going to be for Israel, but it's for atonement. And he shall kill the goat of the sin offering. This is for the people. And bring his blood within the veil, and do that, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock. Sprinkle it seven times. Sprinkle it upon the mercy seat, before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanliness of the children of Israel. Let's stop here for a minute. This is the most holy place. How did it become unclean? It became unclean because of the blood that had the sins of the people in it. Every animal that they sacrificed and transferred the sin to that animal, and that animal was killed, and that blood was put at the altar. The altar, the sanctuary, was now unclean with sin. And that sin remained in there all year long. The whole year. Because of the uncleanliness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions in all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanliness. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goes to make an atonement in the holy place. Until he come out, nobody could be in the tabernacle. Nobody could be in the temple. He alone, until he come out and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel. And he shall go out unto the altar that is before Yah and make an atonement for it. Now I got to clean the altar. I've cleaned the Holy of Holies. Clean the altar now where the blood sacrifices are made. And so take of the blood of the bullock and of the blood of the goat and put it upon the horns of the altar round about. And he shall sprinkle the blood upon it with the finger seven times and cleanse it. Cleanse it with blood. and hallow it from the uncleanliness of the children of Israel. Make it holy and wash the sins of the people away by this blood. And when he has made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. The live goat is the scapegoat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat. He's about to transfer something. And confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel. Read that again. And he confessed over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. So this would be one of the priests. They would take this goat, this live one, out into the wilderness and let it go. Now, in some other books, they tell you the name of an entity that he actually is sending this goat to. But in the scripture, it says he only takes it to the wilderness. Okay? And he lets it go. Now, all of the sins of the children of Israel are on this goat. And they have been taken out of the sanctuary. If your sin was a presumptuous sin and no blood had been shed for your sin in the sanctuary, your sin remained upon you. Your iniquity remained upon you. On this day, you couldn't come in and confess, oh, I did this. No. And a lot of people want to use this day. I don't want to say a lot of people, a lot of Hebrew Israelites want to use this day to make an atonement for their sin. They want to confess, oh yes, I did this and I did that. And then say, well, my sin is forgiven. No matter what type of sin it is, whether they could bring a sacrifice for it or not, Israel is using this as a way to say, I'm getting atonement. And I really never understood it, and I didn't know why I didn't understand it until the Most High showed me this. Can't use the Day of Atonement for that. So let's continue. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto the land not inhabited. Send this goat somewhere where there ain't no people at. Let some wild animal kill it and eat it. You don't let no person kill it and eat it, because that person would be eating all the iniquities of the children of Israel. It is an unclean animal. Now, it's supposed to be clean as far as edible, but because of what it has served as, the scapegoat, it is unclean. And if anybody kills it and eats it, they have just ate all of the sins of the children of Israel that were able to be atoned for. And Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation and shall put off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. And he shall wash his flesh with water in the holy place and put on his garments. Now, I want you, before I move forward here, I want you to remember the two goats, okay? The one chosen by Yah, for Yah, became the sin offering, and the other one became the scapegoat, okay? Because you're going to see that same thing in the New Testament with Messiah and Barabbas. Messiah being chosen by the Most High, the lot Messiah as the sacrifice to be for sin, and Barabbas would be the scapegoat. Okay? And all the sins of Israel would have been transferred to Barabbas. The Messiah paid for them, but the transfer of them by the high priest to Barabbas. But we'll see that maybe a little later, if the Most High allows me to get into it tonight. And with water in the holy place, and put on his garments, and come forth, offer his burnt offering and the burnt offering of the people, and make an atonement for himself and for the people. And the fat of the sin offering shall he burn upon the altar. And he that let the goat for the scapegoat shall wash his clothes, and bathe in his flesh in water, and afterwards come into the camp. He held this unclean animal. He is unclean. He's got to wash himself and his clothes, or else he can't come back into the camp. He is unclean. And the bullock of the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make an atonement in the holy place, shall one carry forth without the camp. So the blood for the goat for the sin offering, the bullock for the sin offering, and the goat that was for the sin offering, the bullock would be for Aaron and his family, the goat for all of Israel. That blood had to be brought out, and to make an atonement in the holy place, the one carried forth without outside the camp, and they shall burn it in the fire, their skins and their flesh with their dung. And he that burns them shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water, and afterwards he shall come into the camp. Now, if he came into the camp without washing, then he's coming into the camp unclean and dirty, and anything that he touches becomes unclean. Anyone that he touches becomes unclean. So I hope we understand this process. And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your soul. And do not work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourns among you. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you, to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before you. And it shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and you shall afflict your soul by a statute forever. So we're not going to find the church doing this, because the church doesn't believe that it has to do it. Okay? But we are still to keep atonement and to afflict our souls. And the priest whom he shall anoint, and whom he shall, whoever was consecrated to act as the high priest, would make this atonement, and shall put on the linen clothes, even the holy garment. And he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary. He shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of the congregation and for the altar. And he shall make an atonement for the priest and for all the people of the congregation, all the people of Israel. If their blood, if their sin was in the tabernacle. And this shall be an everlasting statute unto you. Let me see something. All right, amen. And this shall be an everlasting statute unto you to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. This is the only time that the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies. Remember we read, Moses said, Aaron, see that you and your sons don't go into the Holy of Holies whenever you want to. Once a year, they were to do this on the Day of Atonement. And he did as Yah commanded Moses. So do we understand this process? If you committed a sin out of ignorance, then you could bring an animal to be sacrificed and atonement be made for you. And the blood of that animal would be put at the base of the altar. It would remain at the base of the altar until the Day of Atonement. But if you sin presumptuously, willfully, then the blood, no blood sacrifice could be made for you. No sin offering could be made for you. No atonement could be made for you. The Most High said, your iniquity shall remain upon you. So when the Day of Atonement came and the priest was forgiving all the sins of the children of Israel, those were all the ones that were at the altar. The Most High didn't say, okay, you've been guilty all year. Now on this day, you can make an atonement. It didn't work that way. It did not work that way. The atonement can only be made for sins that atonement had been made for. And the priest had to recite those. And he couldn't recite a sin that was forgivable. So that sin never was forgivable. I pray we understand this and we hear this. So once a year, the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies before the mercy seat. He had to make an atonement for himself, make an atonement for his family. Then he went out and he sanctified the altar. He sanctified the mercy seat. He sanctified the sanctuary. He sanctified the altar, meaning that he cleansed them by blood, the blood of Yah's sacrifice, the sin offering. And then all that sin, it was paid for by the blood of the sin offering. And then the blood of the sin offering, the priest went out on the head of the scapegoat. And he recited all the sins and transferred all those sins from the altar to the scapegoat. The scapegoat was then taken out of the camp, out into the wilderness where nobody lived, where no people were supposed to be at, and let go. And that's how the altar, the sanctuary, the Holy of Holies was cleaned of the sin, the uncleanliness. It was cleansed by blood. And those sins, all those sins, transferred to the scapegoat. So I pray we understand the process. Now, that blood was for the homeborn and the stranger. Now, let's go to Messiah. Let's move into the New Testament. We got to understand some things. The Most High never changes his modus operandi, the way he operates. And somehow people believe that he changed the way he operates in the New Testament. The only thing that he changed, but he always said it was going to be this, I require the blood of a man to permanently pay for the sins of men. The blood of bulls and goats, I never wanted for sin, but I used it until the appointed time when Messiah would come into the world. And the blood of a man would be able to pay for that sin. That meant that the Christ, the Messiah, to be without sin, without blemish. Or else, his blood would not be acceptable to the Most High. So a man could not be involved with his birth. Because then he would have to say, I was conceived in iniquity. I was conceived in iniquity. Then you have iniquity. Part of your conception was iniquity, and it passed on to you. That's how the Most High makes sure where you can say all have sinned and come short of the glory of the Most High. Because if the semen of a man and a sexual act was performed, whether it was artificial or whether it was natural, the Most High says that it is sin. The very act is sin. And it is an unclean act. Because it's unclean, it is sin. And people think unclean means, oh, it's just dirty. No, it's sin. And so everybody who came into the world that way, the Most High says, you're a sinner. You were conceived in sin. So how are you going to come out of something that is the Most High considers to be an unclean act, a sinful act, and you be without sin? Your conception itself would make you a sinner. So you can say all have sinned and fallen short. So he had to take the man out of the picture, and he had to take semen out of the picture. That's why Mary's pregnancy, she had to be a virgin. No man could be involved with it. No sexual act could be involved with it. It had to be supernatural. And the only one that could do this is the Most High. So he appointed that time that Messiah would be born that way. Remember, all the sacrifices had to be without blemish. You just didn't bring a bull or a goat, any bull or goat, for a sacrifice. It had to be without blemish. As our Messiah, that blemish represents sin. So Messiah came and he was without sin, without blemish. So to Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 1. And let's drop down to probably around verse 18. Now, we can start at verse 16. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Yeshua, who was called Christ. Now, I didn't say that Joseph is the father. Joseph is playing daddy, but he's not the father of Messiah. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon until Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Yeshua. Now it gave you the lineage. Now it's going to tell you about his birth. And this is what makes him qualify as the Lamb of the Most High. And this is what makes his blood untainted. And now he has to live an untainted life. Because if he started off life unclean, the Most High has already determined that he's unclean. He would not be fit. Okay? Now the birth of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, was on this way. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, before they slept together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. So put yourself in her shoes. The angel Gabriel comes to her and says, hey, Mary, blessed art thou among women. You're going to be the mother of the Messiah. Finger there. And let's go to Luke chapter 1. We're going to read about this, okay? Because we have to understand how Messiah is that perfect sacrifice. How he qualifies as the goat, as the sheep that was chosen by Yah to be the sin offering. And the second goat, how it ends up being the scapegoat, which is Barabbas. Okay, but we're going to look at his birth first. So start in verse 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are mostly assuredly believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first. Now, Luke is saying this about himself. To write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abib. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before Elohim, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of Yah, blameless. So Elizabeth was walking the way she's supposed to, and Zacharias was walking the way he was supposed to, in the commandments and in the ordinances. And they were blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest office before Elohim in the order of his course at his time, according to the custom of the priest office, his lot was to burn incense when it went into the temple of Yah. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of Yah, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Remember that altar of incense? No blood was supposed to be put on it except for on the Day of Atonement. And so this angel is standing near the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias. For thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. So Zacharias has been there stricken in years. He's been praying a long time for a child. And the Most High waits until he's well up in years. Now, John is filled with the Holy Spirit, and we're going to see this. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of Yah, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. So he is chosen by the Most High. He is filled with the Spirit from the Most High, even in the womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to Yah, their Elohim. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for Yah. Now, when John comes, we're not going to go there tonight, but if you go to Isaiah chapter 40, then you can read that Isaiah says that John is to announce the arrival of Elohim to Israel. Behold, Israel, here is your Elohim, your God, your Savior. Okay? But he is filled with the Ruach HaKodesh in the womb. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel. He didn't say, I am the Holy Ghost. He did not say, I am the Holy Spirit. He says, I am Gabriel that stands in the presence of Elohim, and am sent to speak. speak unto you and to show you these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not be able to speak till the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believe not my words." He asked a question. How am I going to know? Because I'm old and my wife is old. It was taken as what? Unbelief. Which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. Why? What's taking him so long with this lighting this incense? And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration, he worked in the temple for a week, were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months. She conceived, and she's 5 months pregnant. Nobody knows. She hid herself, saying, "Thus has God dealt with me in the days wherein he looked upon me to take away my reproach among men." The fact that she hadn't had any children in those days, she felt like, hey, this was blasphemous. It was sinful. And in the sixth month, in her sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from Elohim unto the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin, a spouse, engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored, and Yah is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. She wasn't troubled at his sight. She was troubled at his saying, "What do you mean I'm highly favored?" And cast in her mind what manner of greeting, salutation, this should be. What you mean? And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with Elohim. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring son, and shall call his name Yeshua." Your Bible says Jesus. "And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And Yah, Elohim, shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be?" Now she's really not believing. How is this going to be? "And I know not a man. I ain't been with nobody. I'm engaged to Joseph, but we ain't done nothing yet because we haven't come together yet." And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing," ain't nothing like this been done, "which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of Elohim." This holy thing that's in your womb shall be called the Son of Elohim. "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also," now the Most High overshadows Mary by his spirit, and she's pregnant. "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth," well, she's not pregnant exactly yet. "Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age." But John the Baptist is not conceived by the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist conceived when Zacharias and Elizabeth come together. And he's filled with the Holy Ghost from his birth, from in the womb. But the birth of Messiah is Mary's, "I don't know a man. Having been with a man. I don't know a man that way. Haven't been with a man." Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with Elohim nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, now this is when she gets pregnant. She said, behold, the handmaiden of Yah. Be it unto me according to thy word. Boom. It's done. She has agreed to the contract. She has agreed to the task. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, in a hurry, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. So she leaves in a hurry. Going where? Going to Zacharias and Elizabeth's house. She didn't go home to Joseph and say, hey, guess what happened to me? He don't have no clue. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. She's filled with the Holy Ghost because of John. In her womb is filled with the Holy Ghost. And she began to prophesy, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And when is this to me, or why is this to me, that the mother of my Lord, my master, should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of the child of thy, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believes. For there shall be a performance of the things which were told unto her from Yah. So she's being confirmed through Elizabeth by the Holy Spirit that this thing is going to happen to you. And see, she says, blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. The fruit of thy womb, she is already pregnant. And Mary said, my soul does magnify Yah, and my spirit has rejoiced in Elohim, my Savior. For he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty has done to me great things. Holy is his name. Has done to me great things. Already pregnant. And holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. His mercy is on them that fear him. Because people don't want to fear him. And everywhere we read is to fear him. Mary is saying that, hey, his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. Pride is a terrible thing. And he says, he scattered the proud in their imaginations of their hearts. He put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree, raised up them that are humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. As he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary stayed with her about 3 months. Now remember, she's in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. She stayed 3 months. And returned to her own house. Now Elizabeth, full time came that she should deliver, and she brought forth a son. Mary left when John the Baptist was born. She returns home to her own house, to the house that Joseph is building for her. She's 3 months pregnant. He don't know nothing about it. Let's go to back to Matthew chapter 1. Start with verse 18 again. Now the birth of Yeshua was on this wise when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be pregnant by the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make a public example out of her, because according to Joseph, you've been playing the harlot in your father's house. And the law requires me to take you to the gate of your father's house and accuse you there and then have you stoned publicly. That was the law. Hey, who's in here? Close the door. Oh, at least. Hold on a minute. Elisha, is that you?
Yeah.
All right, let's be more quiet, please. Found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, because the law called for a to stone her publicly, was minded to put her away to do it what? Privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of Yah appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus or Yeshua, for he shall save his people from their sins, from their transgressions. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Yah, by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is Elohim with us. Who with us? Elohim. John, behold, Israel, behold your Elohim. Announcing Messiah. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of Yah had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. He accepted her, still didn't sleep with her, and knew her not sexually, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Yeshua. So his birth is without sexual intercourse. His birth is without semen. His birth is without a man. So he is sinless. Him to be the Lamb of Elohim. Now when you understand the scriptures, then he also would have been born at the time of lambing, when the lambs are born, the springtime, when there's an abundance of what? Grass. That's when all wild animals, and truthfully speaking, most domesticated animals, their life is geared that they should have their offspring in the spring, but you can make them have it otherwise. But if it happens naturally, then it's going to be when food is abundant. Okay? So this is Messiah's birth. This is how he qualifies to be a sinless lamb. Now he's still got to continue to live a what? Sinless life. To remain qualified as the Lamb of Elohim. What time we got? We're going to stop here for this evening. And tomorrow morning, I'm going to get into his crucifixion and the events around his crucifixion. Because remember, we got to have two goats, two lambs. A lamb and a goat, as far as the scripture is concerned, are the same. One can be a lamb of a goat or the lamb of a sheep. In the ceremony, he said, take two goats. But we're going to see what the high priest does, because the high priest died. And he causes the people to say, crucify Messiah. It's a lot of tasks. You're going to be the sin offering. You're the one Yah chose. Who do the people want to let go? Give us Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. So we're going to read this, and we're going to read the terminology used in it. So you will see that the ceremony for the Day of Atonement was carried out in the death, the crucifixion and death, and the freeing of Barabbas at Messiah's crucifixion. And who offered him up? See, it couldn't just be anybody. It had to be the high priest. Came our Passover, but he also became the sin offering. He became the atonement. He served those offices. And Barabbas was the scapegoat. So we'll look at that in the morning. And let us appreciate what Messiah and what the scriptures say, how we are supposed to treat him and how we're supposed to honor his death and how the Most High, how he still has not changed about sin. How he still has not changed with that. He didn't change his, the way he operates. And so that when we are at the Day of Atonement, that we can appreciate the Day of Atonement, and that we can appreciate what Messiah has done for us in spirit and in truth, not just another day when we place him as the sacrificial lamb or the sacrificial goat, the one chosen by Yah, and it pleased Yah to bruise him. Chosen by Yah to go through this. The one chosen by Yah would be the sin offering. The other one that was chosen would be let go free. With that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, saints, for this is our whole duty. Shalom, and enjoy the rest of your evening.
Never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. up. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time, push a buck. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the mishmash, got good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always there to teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo, I live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? Without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always there to teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahoo, I live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect.
Shalom,
everyone.
Shalom, family. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you.
See you guys in the morning. Peace and blessings. Alrighty.